Welcome to episode 5 of Across the Board, hosted by me, Brendan Liddell Bryant, where we talk about anything and everything relevant and irrelevant in today's world. You can now find Across the Board anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and the like. We got a very special guest for you music lovers out there. Please welcome Donnie Dizzy Cleanface Flores to the podcast. Diz, my man, what's up?
What's going on with y'all, man? How y'all feeling? How y'all holding up in this quarantine?
You know what? Thanks for coming on. I know times are tough, and I appreciate you for making the time to come on the podcast and, you know, speak some knowledge to the people listening. So on today's podcast, this is like the first podcast that's actually geared towards like music, which is funny because, you know, I'm a music guy, so people probably expected this to come a lot sooner. But today we're going to be talking about connecting the dots, the art of securing a placement and all that goes into it. And since you're a professional dot connector working with names like DJ Snake, J Balvin, Russian, Bobby Shmurda, Zoe Dallas, and the list goes on, would love if you could just start us off by telling us your story and how you got started working in music.
My story is like, I started working in music because I was a party promoter. I started promoting parties, concerts, and stuff like that. And from that, I met a guy named Byron. And he wanted me to intern at Slip and Slide Records. And then I did that. And my first intern thing was, you know, working with Rick Ross, driving around and stuff, to concerts and stuff like that. So that was my first start into the music business.
Nice. And from that, what was like, I guess, the first moment where it kind of shifted everything for you? Like, you say you started driving for Rick Ross. Do you think that was the moment to where it like started picking up, or what was like the defining moment for you?
I remember like me and Rick Ross were driving one night to a show, and he was playing me Hustling. He just did it last night, back to back, playing it from Miami to West Palm Beach. And then he was like, this shit is crazy. And it was just crazy. I was just young. I didn't know. I remember we went to the show that night, and he's like, yo, tell him to play it. And I made him play, but nobody wasn't really fucking with it. To fast forward to a month after, when shit was crazy, he signed a big deal with Jay-Z. And then when I saw that, like, I was like, oh, shit, this shit is real. And I just started taking it more serious.
Yeah. So what would you say is like the first step for someone who wants to be in your position as like an A&R with connecting writers, producers, things like that? Obviously you had a good come up, a good grind. What's like some defining moments you would say that kind of helped get you to where you are?
Just being consistent, loving this shit. And like, really, I used to put out flyers. I did whatever it took just to get here, like help bags, do whatever I had to do to get here. I'm sorry, I didn't take no shortcuts. It was, you know what I'm saying, if I had to go work for this person, drive the car. I'm about, for when I started doing for E-Class, I was driving him every day, just going to different spots.
Yeah.
To be with, you know, just driving. And, you know, to come from where it is now, just don't take no thing into listening to, always keep yourself around fresh new beats and fresh new producers, songwriters, artists, whatever, just try to get in there some type of way,
right?
You know,
yeah,
and stay around the good shit.
Got you. What's your process like in connecting artists, producers, writers to make the big hits that have come out under things that you've done?
I mean, like, my first record I put together was This Is Why I'm Hot, right? I was young, didn't know the business. My friends, Blackout Movement, they had Mimps, so they had put the record, I think it was like top 40. So they was like, yo, we need to get a remix. So they'll start to put a whole bunch of rappers on there. And I was like, man, that shit is cool, but I think we should take the reggae route on this. And they was like, what you mean? I was like, I think we should. I was like, who do you think we're gonna get? And I remember my cousin, King Shiloh, was DJing for Junior Reed. And I was like, yo, Shiloh, you know, King thing Junior would get on the song. And I remember he said, yeah, you can ask him. And we brought him to the studio, and he was like, oh, what is kid saying? And then what they do in the what did they do? I said, well, kids go in the club, they drink champagne. I was just telling them like how to put the words together.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was, you know, about publishing none of that shit after that. So I remember, boom, the song took off and whatever.
You're just kinda doing it naturally, you know, like helping out to make the song.
Yeah, months after that, the shit was number one all over the world. And Then the samples took a whole bunch of shit. So that was our first lesson about publishing. So I was like, oh, I ain't never gonna get fucked again.
Yeah.
And I just started learning more about it. And, you know, that was it. Like, just, you know, hearing good shit and just putting different people in the room that people don't expect.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Do you think is it a trial and error thing? Is it a feeling thing? Like, explain kind of what goes into that.
Like, I do camps, yeah. Right? Writing camps and all that stuff. And I don't put, like, the people like, oh, this person's popping. I put, like, a popping person with an up-and-coming person I believe in and different things. Like, and I tell people, like, yo, when I put these camps together, it's not just to make a hit record. It's about you connecting with that person right. In that camp. Because later down that road, you never know what's gonna come out of that. Just, you know, to connect with people and whatever. Even if you don't get a hit in that camp, cool. But just remember, I put y'all in the room.
Yeah.
Not just to be like this, to for y'all to connect and do different things moving forward.
Right. What was the process in putting together, like, Taki?
Oh, it was crazy. So Taki, Snake, you know, I did a couple things for Snake. Then he was like, I think I want you to work on my album.
Mm-hmm.
And then my boy Aaron, Music Carol, he was the one that connected this whole thing with Snake.
Yeah.
And then he told me Snake wanted Future, and I got Future 1 year for Ultra, right. And I got J Balvin. So then I was, you know, so then it was like, he was like, you know, I want you to work on an album.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me, I remember a track, and I remember I was chasing him down for a long time with that same track. So I just went back to my hip hop and my knowing that if you chase somebody down for a while, maybe they ain't fucking with the track, but they just don't want to tell me. Right. No. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then I took the, I went back to the files and I started going through the beats, and I picked like 2-3 beats,
mm-hmm.
and I send it off to him. Soon I remember he said, yo, Poppy, you'll get it back tonight.
Gotcha.
And I was like, all right, cool. I've been running out for 3 months. I don't know. I'm whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like, you're going to get it back tonight. I was like, all right, cool. And then he was like, great. And then I remember the night he sent it, he was in Colombia on tour. He sent it and it was a movie. And I remember Snake was like, yo, let's tell him to finish it.
Yeah.
I said, yo, you think you can finish it? He's like, nah, fuck that. I think it could be big. We should get other people on it.
Okay.
And I sent that shit to everybody. Every artist you could think of that was big. They got it, and they all turned it down, right?
I know they're kicking themselves for that one.
then we came, the label had a, you know what I'm saying, the label's like, had a deadline, they're like, this is just going crazy. So I was just like, fuck. Scrambling around, and then I went to New York, and I just run around. I had kind of like moved on, I had to start doing local contigo on different records and stuff,
uh-huh.
and putting different shit together, and Enzo and all that stuff. And I remember, like, I was riding my boy Brooklyn, and Brooklyn Johnny, and he was like, you know, we were just riding through Dykeman and shit. Yeah, picked me up. He had like a green BMW shit. So we were riding through New York, and he was like, you know, I started working with Cardinal. I was like, oh shit, that's good. And he said, well, play what you got going on. I played him shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yo, that shit's crazy. And he was like, with Asuna. And I was like, you think Cardinal again? He's like, you know, she liked Asuna. Let's see how it worked. And he was like, we went, and he said, I'm going to play for on Thursday. If she fuck with it, I'll let you know. I remember Thursday came. He called me like, yo, she fuck with it. Da-da-da, we going to do it. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. She told the team. They were like, all right, go, man. Let's see. Cause like, they were like, oh, man.
They're like, we'll see. We're not. Yeah, exactly. You never know, especially with songs.
They were doubting me like so bad, the whole team. They ain't made a bet, bro. Like,
really? Oh, my
like,
gosh.
It was crazy. Like, but, you know, and then, you know, it happened. So then she was pregnant. So then
right.
Like the label, like, we got a deadline, and Selena Gomez, they went to put some Selena Gomez on. I was like, oh, we're just gonna go with Selena Gomez. That's what it is. I was like, fuck. They're like, yo, just call them, tell them we'll catch them on the next one, whatever. I called Brooklyn and I text him. I was like, yo, we're just gonna catch you on the next one. We put Selena Gomez on it, dog. You know, so we appreciate you trying.
Yeah.
I remember I get that FaceTime. It's Cardi talking about, oh, motherfucker, hell no. I gotta be on this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this shit gonna be the hottest thing in Dykeman and all the other crazy shit. And she's just like,
so she was really support. She was really, really supportive of that record.
Yeah, yeah. She really fucked with the song. Mm. She really, really. It was no cap. It was not whatever. She really fucked with the song.
That's great.
So then, you know, saying from day one, she fucked with it, and it happened, and you know, shot the video, and then here we are now.
That's crazy.
History.
What were you? Would you say that was one of the biggest obstacles in putting together a song, or? Was there another instance that you're like, yo, this was a crazy moment. I'm so happy we like overcame that.
Yeah, that was a big incident. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a lot. You know what I'm saying?
With all those different people getting on it, of course.
Yeah, I remember we had to get on video. We had to take three different jets for everybody to come to LA to shoot the video. Crazy.
What was the timeline in the you getting that record to the finished product? Just so people understand how long it takes.
It took like damn well 6 months to get make that record right.
Yeah, exactly. 6 months. Sometimes with those big type of records with a lot of people on it, it takes a while. And like some people, especially like artists, are just like really like trying to get music out. Up and coming artists are like really trying to get music out and like push it. But sometimes they don't realize like you need to get the right records and then push that out. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lesson for a lot of people that sometimes it does take a couple months to get something amazing that just goes fucking crazy.
Right.
What are some of your favorite songs that you helped put together other than Talkie Talkie?
Loco Contigo, Enzo, the Post Malone with Cardi B.
Yeah.
We're Russian. Just doing a lot of stuff, bro. Like, I'm putting so much big records together right now. It's like, it's crazy. I got a lot of stuff overseas and different things, and, you know, other French records and Indian records and different.
When you're putting all this stuff together, are there songwriters that you really like that you gravitate towards? Do you have a few of your favorite songwriters
right
now?
Yeah. I like Derek. I mean, I like Derek Milano. I like Ink. I like All Day. I like, you know, it's a lot of people that's dope. You know, I just, that.
Who do you think's like next up, if you had to say it?
Derek Milano.
Who's like the next big songwriter of 2020?
Probably All Day.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the biggest.
Nice. One thing that I find super inspiring is just how you were able to come up in Florida and like really find your way in the door. You know, you started driving for Rick Ross, and then you like moved up, met with DJ Snake. He fucked with you. You started putting records together. Can you talk a little bit more about like the importance of like the grind that it takes in order to make it in the music industry or just in life in general?
I mean, yeah, it's just, you gotta have a drive. You gotta have a goal. I mean, I don't know. My goal was just to go hard and make it. Like, I was never really like, oh, I want to set this. I want to do that. I just kept on praying and kept on grinding and until, you know what I'm saying, the opportunities came and I never stopped. Like, you know, always everything else, like, you know, like with Bobby Smurda and all that stuff. Like, that was my first big thing.
Oh, yeah. Talk about Bobby.
You know what I'm saying? And after,
I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, that was the first big thing coming into the game. And, you know, like me and Bobby's uncle were good friends. And he always, you know, like, I remember he's like, yo, my nephew's rapping now. Did you come help me? I used to always help him with different his other artists he had. But then I remember we went to New York and run around with Bobby and all that. And I remember like I brought him to Po' Boy in Miami and shit. And nobody wanted it. Like, they were like, nah, we good. And I was like, I'm gonna just go to New York with these niggas and
see what's up.
Try to see if we get a deal, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I took a chance. Cause I could have, you know, I could have said, well, fuck it, whatever, but I took a chance, went to New York and, you know, and it happened. I remember we closed for the biggest deal and whatever, a couple months after, you know, everything fell apart. But it's like, that was when I first come in the industry and like say, oh shit, this is serious. You know what I'm saying? We got a big bag and, you know, like, but that was a grind. Like, I remember sleeping on floors, in hotel rooms with a whole bunch of people in the room. We was like thugging it out for real. Like, you really got to do a lot of sacrifice to do this. You know, this, when you see people stunting and doing all that shit, you don't know what they went through.
Some people are so like, naive, I would say, not just in the music industry, but just in general, that like things will come instantly for you. Things will just happen. Things will just fall into your lap almost. And I think like it's kind of a flaw in like my generation specifically, because we're so guided by social media, right? And everyone's looking at everyone's highlights and like all the high points in their life and like, oh, I can get that tomorrow. But they might not know like how much that person actually grinded and worked for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of grind, bro. A lot of sleepless night, a lot of being away from your family, your kids. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To put into this, it's not an easy task. And, you know, I had to get close to God, a lot of prayers, a lot of different things.
And as you were coming up and as you were grinding, was there anyone that kind of like inspired you in those moments when you were like really, really struggling or like?
Juan Madrid, E-Class. Yeah, Juan Madrid, E-Class, couple other people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just wanted to, like, I wanted to be like Juan. Like, Juan was my, I would look at Juan like that guy. Like, Juan was like that dude, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I wanted to have a car like Juan, the watch like Juan. It was just like, because he was a grinder, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
What are some current music execs that inspire you or that you're friends with or that kind of help you on your day-to-day?
Yeah, like Omar Grant, Sherry, Austin Rosen, which I have a partnership with. You know, Sal and Cole. Yeah. You know, like the stuff that Murder and everybody's doing, Corey and them.
Shout out Corey.
And then, you know, Eli, you know, just all the people, all the movers and shakers, man. Like the people like Andy who managed T-Pain and stuff and Metro and all and Dream Moon and all of them, like, you know, I see a lot of dudes coming up that's crazy. I got this new kid that his name is Ali. I'm really fucking with him. Like, I think he's gonna be the future. Like, exactly. He's only 19 right now.
Really?
But I fuck with him.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah. And Chelsea from Columbia. She's dope.
Shout out Chelsea. I love Chelsea.
Yeah, she's really dope.
She's a homie.
Birdman. Don't forget Birdman Zoe.
Oh yeah.
You know Birdman. Birdman Zoe and Taz Taylor, like those are my brothers, you know.
Hell yeah. What's like a quality in all these people that you kind of notice is like the standout quality that people should like try to work towards if they want to get to that level?
They connect, they have no egos, they just be themselves, like no egos, no who is fuck. Oh yeah, we know such and such. Like, nah, just be yourself, man. Like, and people, they fuck with you or don't, they don't. You know, just keep it moving, but just be yourself.
Right.
You know, just how that, you know, people can see who came from the struggle and who didn't come from the struggle, you know?
Yeah.
And support people, like fucking do a posters. Hey, man, I appreciate send texts, check up on people, whatever. Just, you know, help people too. Like, reach out to people. Like, how can I help you with this? I see you dealing with this. Like, support each other. That's how, you know, that's how we
keep
do
that good energy.
All of us. All the time.
I think that's so lost nowadays because, like, a lot of people are focused on themselves and, like, self-development, but really, like, it's helpful to help others develop, because that's just, if you're helping someone else out, they're gonna help you in the future, and they're gonna help you grow eventually, you know what I mean?
All the time.
Exactly.
People going to see you on the way up, you know. You just gotta, if you go into a studio, shake the engineer, the guy who's cleaning the studio, say what's up with everybody. I just be yourself, you know. Just don't be like, oh, I'm such and such, don't talk to me, don't touch me. Like, those type of people, they come and go fast.
Yeah, that's facts.
Because at the end of the day, we're human beings. You got to be a human being at the end of the day.
At the core. Exactly. Right? Exactly. There's a lot of crazy times going on, so everybody's got to stick together, man.
Yeah. Like me, I always say, check up on my friends. How you doing? Like, I'll check up on everybody. Even if they don't even check up with me, I just try to say hi.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
What have you been doing during the lockdown period? You've been hanging out with family?
Yeah, I've been with my family, kids. I got adopted a new dog named Chip.
Oh, nice.
So Chip been there. He been keeping me.
Like a little puppy?
Yeah.
Or is he older? Nice.
He a little older, but I'm just saying, but I just adopted him. And then, you know, I just been doing that. A lot of placements, a lot of working on a lot of stuff, closing a lot of deals.
Hell yeah.
And that's it. Just, you know, watching more stuff, learning more stuff, reading more stuff, and trying to one day hopefully write a book or something. Maybe sure.
Love that. Yeah. I would love to. When I was younger, I actually wrote like a very small book. Like, I think I was like 10 or 11. I remember like writing one, and I was like, damn, one day I actually want to make a book. So hopefully that'll happen too for me.
Definitely.
Put it
in the air.
Exactly.
Put it in the
universe, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
What's like some advice to some artists and producers out there who are like grinding during this lockdown quarantine time?
Working on everything, hit other producers up, get loops, collab on a lot of stuff. Writers, hit up the producers, send stuff. Artists, you know what I'm saying, connect with different artists you couldn't really connect with a lot. They've been reaching out to you for a while, and just, you know, just collab and just put out different things. Like right now, think of the gaming system is lit, the internet's lit. Like, think of different creative ways to put out the music, but fucking keep going, like keep working. Like, that's all we can do. We can't do nothing else, you know?
Love it. Love it. Yeah, I've just been trying the. It's been a time of like personal growth, because obviously there's nothing else to do, so you can easily just like focus on yourself, focus on work, and just like keep your head down and focus, you know. So But hey, Diz, really appreciate having you on. Your story is one that's super inspiring, and I know a lot of people out there are gonna love hearing about and like learning about how to exactly connect the dots and put artists together. Is there any last words that you want to say to our viewers out there before you leave?
Man, connect the dots, go into rooms, go into events, connect with everybody, build with everybody.
Love
that's
it.
The key to that shit. Whoever you click with, you click with. You know what I'm saying? Make music. Who you fuck with, you fuck with. If everybody ain't gonna like you, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Shout out to Dave, you know, from Spin. You know, like, it's just different people. Like, you know, whoever you fuck with, you fuck with. Fuck Jersey. Jersey's a motherfucking, that's my other homie. Like, he's dope as fuck. Like, you know, like, I'm just happy to be blessed to, you know, be around a lot of good people, you know?
Love that. Love that. Well, thanks again, Diz. Appreciate you. And,
yeah, Dizzy Clean Face on all
Yeah, follow him on social media at Dizzy Clean Face.
Yeah, I check all my DMs. I check all my emails.
Send them shit. Producers, artists, writers, songs.
If you got that fire, please send some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You looking for a team? Come on over, baby. We good.
We good.
You know?
Thank you, Diz. Really appreciate you, man.